take off from where we stopped yesterday. The call of God is in your salvation. God has called you to service by the act of saving you. And over the years, it's been separated by denominations, but that's not what's in the word. God's called you as he saved you. The call to salvation is a call to service. And so it becomes strange when a new creation in Christ Jesus, a new born-again man, finds it hard to respond to it. The natural response to a born-again of a born-again man to God's calling is to obey. It's not an extra thing. It's just what it is. So we said yesterday, what could be the challenge? And we said, looking at the life of Moses, who is an example, we said, sometimes it's an identity crisis. The way some of us have grown. And of course, sometimes it's the kind of information. You know, identity can be what you've exposed yourself to. You expose yourself to things. When I got born again, for example, I'm always privileged. To be privileged to be raised in a place where the day I got saved, that was the day I led someone to Christ. Or I tried to lead someone to Christ. The person did not get born again. But the person who led me or who prayed with me that they took me out that evening to go and preach. So it wasn't an extra thing. You know, took me out to go and preach. By the next week, we're being taken for outreaches. We're going for a crusade. So it was natural. Maybe this is for some people. So maybe that, by God's help, had helped someone like me and many others like that. But I discovered that many believers have been given options. And usually when there are options, you think you have a choice. Even though, yes, choice is part of your free will as a human being. But just like when Moses said, I set before you life and death. Though you have a choice, but at the same time, the choices have a consequence. He said, I say you should choose life. So even though there's a choice, just like when we go to preach to people, we let them know that Jesus died for their sins, their salvation and redemption in his blood, and they should make that choice. But there's also a consequence of not making that choice, which is another choice. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He that believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, so if you don't believe, you will perish. So there is a consequence for making that choice. You do have a choice. But the choice you have comes with a consequence. So when people give you alternatives and they give you an option, like I said yesterday, you look at the word of God. Is that option available in God's word? You know, is it an option that's available in God's word? So sometimes the identity crisis may come from the fact that we have been exposed to an information that is not in God's word. Okay? So that kind of identity crisis can also come. For example, there are people who preach something like apostles and prophets in the marketplace. And I recall when that thing was gaining ground, some of us were saying, where is this going to? Apostles and prophets that you don't necessarily have to preach the gospel, you don't have to, that your calling may have been somewhere else. And so some people believe that, you know, their earthly professions, which will be one, their course of study in school, or their natural potentials, is the direction of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. As desirable as that is, it's not the word of God. It looks okay, because what that usually does is that he makes you pick a choice in your comfort zone. Because naturally, your profession, your career, what you are doing presently every day is a comfort zone. So it's easy to say, this is what I like doing. You know, I mean, see something like a footballer, for example. And we say that oftentimes, a footballer, I remember there was one fellow they were talking to, and he said he knows that the time span of a football legend, he was not even a legend, is between 5 and 8 years. After that, how many years do you want to play? Now imagine telling that kind of person that that is his ministry. And he's now playing for Chelsea. You know, I'm sorry that this is the only way I can say it. There's no other sweet inspired parable. You know, you look at where you are going to. The guy is an athlete. I tell him that is his ministry. And then after 5 years, he's now coming fifth or eighth. And it's still his ministry. Or, you know, you can go on and on. It's just giving people a comfort zone. You know, and be very careful of pastors. No, I don't like using that word. Let me take that back. Pastors should be careful, rather, of trying to give people what they want. When Paul was warning Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, he says, preach the word, be instant in zeal. Now, the background of that is that he told him from verse 10, you have known me, my manner of life, my doctrine, you know, what I've been through, my conversation, he said that. Then in verse 15, he says, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith as in Christ. Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So he comes from his background to what he learned from him. All scripture given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, show, rationalization, that the man of God, verse 17, may be truly furnished, perfect unto all good works. So he said, I charge you before Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his own appearing. 2 Timothy 4. So look at the flow. Now, since you have this experience, Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort long-suffering, doctrine, and patience. For the time will come. Now, I always say this, that Paul is not prophesying there in verse 3. The time will come in every congregation. The time will come to every pastor. Me, as your pastor in Saints Community Church here, the other church here, I've just said Saints Community Church, I know those times come when people will just feel like, can't we do something else? They will no longer endure sound doctrine. They will just say, this is the same thing. You know, and people naturally, and you will see it in the way they react. The time will come, of course, because we are in this world, though we are not of this world, we are vulnerable, okay, and impressionable. They will hip up teachers. That means they will have what they want to hear from you after their own lust, Paul says. He says they will turn from the truth. They will develop itching ears. Itching ears is, I want to hear something in particular. And when I'm not hearing it, some people will come to your church, sometimes what they want to hear is grace message. Some want to hear faith message. Others just want to hear commitment to ministry. Some others want to hear leading of the Spirit. So people usually have that. And whether you like it or not, we all at some point have favorite things that you want to hear. And they will say things, Pastor, that service was for me. I told someone, I said, there will be a service that you not feel this way. Make sure you come the next week. You won't feel this one that you're feeling good every service. There are services that will not make you look good. So he said, the time will come, and it's for all of us. We must be ready for that time. The time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine. They will now turn from the truth of the word of God unto fables. He now warns Timothy, you make full proof of your ministry. Now, the background of that statement comes a man like Aaron. Remember Aaron? Aaron was the fellow that Moses kept in charge of the flock when he went, you know, up to the mount. Before he came back, the people were complaining. And they turned to Aaron. They said, look, Moses has gone for long. We can't stay like this. They said, we want to make a golden calf. So they beckoned on Aaron what they wanted. And what did Aaron do? He simply did what they wanted. I know what they did. After they made the golden calf, if you read that story, you say, what? And they said, this is the God who delivered us from Egypt. Something they made with their own hands. You know, the thing about such leadership, listen to this very well, was that nothing happened to Aaron. That's the thing. It was the people who followed him that perished. Nothing happened to him. Nothing. It was the people. Moses came back, interceded, and all of that, but Aaron just went. Nothing happened to Aaron. He continued like that. So, be careful what you desire for pastors to be. He didn't say, I will give you shepherds after your heart. He said, after my own heart. So be careful what you want a pastor to be. No, it's not what you want a pastor to be. It's what the word of God has said a pastor should be. Are you following what I'm saying here? So many times it's the option available. There are options available and people will give you options. Look at today. People are giving options either to come to church or stay at home. They say, you don't worry if you cannot make it, stay. No, we'll be streaming the service online. Now, if you have a Bible and you read that Bible, you have no pastor to blame. If you have a Bible, you have nobody to blame. You can't blame anybody. You can't say, but it's my pastor who is this man of God. Is it in your own Bible that you can stay at home and attend church? It's not there. Is it in your Bible that you can be given options of not attending prayer meeting? It's not there. Is it in your Bible that you can be given options of not going for evangelism? It's not there. A man will have to twist the Bible, and after twisting it, it will still not be there. So you ask yourself, so a good conscience is all you need. A good conscience. They simply asked for the golden calf, and Aaron gave it to them under pressure. Aaron is the kind of associate that one should really be careful of. He's a good guy. I mean, he did well, but the second time when Miriam also told him, why is Moses having an Ethiopian? And then in all that and all, of course, the Hebrew construction shows what Miriam who said it. And Miriam was the one who caught the leprosy. You know, and all that. But he was there. You know, and I tell the associate pastors, as an associate pastor, your responsibility is to do what you are told to do. All the time. But that's for another day. So, you see, Aaron is that kind of person. This is what we want. Okay, this is what you want. And look at the difference. In Samuel, when the people told Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 8, they wanted a king like the other nations, he began to weep. He cried to the Lord, Lord, look at what we are looking for. And God said, give it to them. I'm the one they rejected. Look at the difference. In Samuel's case, he sought the Lord. Your people are backsliding. That's what he said. In Aaron's case, he just did what they wanted. So we therefore must, these are things we must be cautious and be conscious about too. That we are not pandering to what is reigning now in town. Hey, what do people want? Hey, you see, someone said the attention span of people is so short these days. You cannot be doing long teaching. You see, all these long prisons, people are not, someone told me one day, he said, you see, people are not going that direction again. No? He said, people, the minister of God, people are not, all these ones, I said, what are you talking about? People are not going that direction again. No? Now you have to look at people, what is the need of the generation? I said, what does that even mean? This is not politics or business or commerce. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ. You can't say what do people want. It's what does God want. So you have to be careful of what you are desiring to lead you. Don't choose leaders. Let God choose for you. And God knows what you need. And many times what you need is not what you want. Many times what you need is not, I was telling someone, I said, look, This is what I told them. This is a simple counsel. I said, you are an elderly person. Not elderly like an old person, but I mean. So I said, look, if you really want to learn the work of the ministry, I'll put you under somebody that is far younger than you, who has the experience, has the capacity to help you. But if you start looking for people of your own class, people of your own age, you will never learn it. You will learn it. You will have to get something that, because Jesus said that, except you are like a child, you cannot enter his kingdom. You must first of all act like a child. So until you are like that, you won't. And I give that counsel. A lot of people say, it's not what you want. If they ask you to choose, right now, you probably want to be sleeping. Can I have an amen? Thank you for being real Christians. You know, you don't want to choose. But the fact that you chose it does not mean it is what you need. Look, when I was younger, I would have malaria. And you know, we grew up under the queen, Nara queen, sorry, that's Nara queen, what happened to me? Niva queen, another queen, Chloro queen. You know, the queen, my mom is a nurse. And she will give us that, it's so bitter. So we will arrange, there was a way we will use the thing. When she's not there, you just pour the water and throw the thing behind. Now, at the end of the day, you remain sick. So one day she looked behind the fridge and saw a chemist, a pharmacy, built there. My mom was an interesting person. Don't let me tell you what she did. whatever she did that time, if you hear it, you start praying for her, for her past. She said, what is this? At the end of the day, you didn't use it, but you still remain sick. She would have been wondering, why is this not? So, but the cure usually, and that's where we made the mistake, she now uses injection. Now you know you cannot dodge it. And she can be very, very cold. She would put the syringe inside and be changing the needle, and be changing the syringe, giving you three at the same time. When I say, ha! She just sprinkled it in my mouth. Poof! Keep it! My father would say, I'll take it easy now. He's spending there. Say, no, I don't have time. Say, because she'll tell you, get well, because tomorrow we are going to go and grind something. So you just be thinking, if you don't know divine healing, just know it immediately. But if you didn't take the medicine, you were fooling yourself. It is still what you need. It's what you need. So be careful what you want. Aaron was that kind of person. So why yesterday we said people have identity crisis? It could be because they are exposed to the wrong options. To the wrong options. You go to a church, nobody told you. Nobody said, you've not been to prayer meeting. You are coming. No, someone should have called you, bro. We have not seen you at prayer meeting. Bro, where have you been? Say, prayer meeting. I don't attend, sir. Bro, you have to attend, though. That's how Christians talk, right? Bro, you have to attend, though. You have to attend, sir. Ma, you have to attend. That's how Christians talk. So, we have to be careful of the kind of options available to us. So we looked at Moses yesterday, and we said that Moses obviously had an identity crisis. Look at the book of Acts. Stephen gave that sequence of his life. Acts 7. Stephen started by saying, look at the sequence. In verse 20, it says, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. Look at the sequence. 3 months in his father's house. When he was cast out, verse 21, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him up for her own son. Same person. His father and mother did not marry. The second mother. Can you see the second mother? They didn't even know each other. So the second mother nourished him as her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. So he took on another identity. His exposure, his education. And when he was 40 years, he came to his heart to visit his brethren, children of Israel, and seeing them suffer wrong, he defended them and avenged him that he was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. And he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. So, in 26, the next day, he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, your brethren, why do you wrong one to another? And, but he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Will you kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday? So he fled. So the first thing we said, what affects believers when you say, Brother Shagun, we're going for outreach and he's not willing. We said it's identity crisis. He doesn't know who he is. So he feels he's being forced. He feels that what you are asking him to do is not natural to him because he has an identity crisis. He has not seen himself that way. One of the reasons I said earlier on is he has been given options. He exposed himself to options. So those options look like reality. So that's the first thing. Why you have to compel him? Why you say you have a, you let us fast and the guy begins to frown. You know, he begins to frown. Why is he frowning? He's fasting not in the Bible. He knows he's there, but he doesn't think it's for him. There's that brother down the road. Let's go and check him. He hasn't been to church. He wonders for me. Why? What's my own business with that? I mean, because he has an identity challenge. So here is Moses. He has been raised differently. He moved from his father's house. He went to Pharaoh's daughter's house. He was raised as her son. So we'll look at that as later on. The second issue here is rejection. Moses is now rejected by the people. Notice what he said. He said, this is Stephen's words, verse 25. He supposed his brethren would have understood how God by his hand would deliver them. So, which means that he felt that because he is called of God, he will be accepted like this. Boom, 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 boom. But it doesn't happen like that way. And the people today, that is the experience they have. They've had failed ventures in ministry. They've tried to do something, it hasn't worked. I remember I was talking to someone and he told me, he said, that was years back. He began a fellowship. And when he began that fellowship, the first two meetings, just two meetings, he had two members. And the thing was up and down. So he told me, he said, look, I think I'm not called to preach. He said, I'm called to be in the choir. Now, who told him that being in the choir doesn't mean means you should not be a preacher? So he just stepped out. He said, no. He said, if this is of God, why am I struggling? Why is it like this? I know he asked those questions. You know, there are people like that, and that's why they are no longer willing. They're no longer willing. They started a fellowship, nothing happened. So they just, maybe it's not God. People didn't accept them the way they wanted. As a younger minister, who finished praying and fasting, waiting on the Lord, do all that, and you'll be seen in the vision. The hall is full. By the time you enter, the hall will be full of air. Like Reverend George Adegboye will say, you see innumerable company of angels. What is this? And then there's, you know, that thing will just get into your mind and doubt will creep in. You know, you begin to doubt everything, the power of God. But you even doubt the Bible. Now what's going on? So there's that stage. Things will not just work that way. But you see, it's a normal face. So he saw that. They didn't just reject him. They labeled him wrongly. They called him a murderer. At that stage, people are no longer desirous. You laid hands on the sick. My first healing meeting, I think there were about 14 or 15 people in the healing service. Even those that were not sick before became unwell after. I know, I'm not joking, no. I laid hands on an open field, a healing meeting. A meeting I had done 5 days of fasting and prayer. So when I was going there, I walked in like Benny Hinn. And I felt today is the day. I began to lay hands, lay hands, lay hands, lay hands, lay hands. I asked you, how do you feel? Guy said, I believe God. You know, I said, nothing, oh. You know, he was so sad. So someone who now saw the meeting now said, now told another person who now told me that we saw your meeting yesterday that you were laying hands. I said, yeah, I didn't have more scripture. He said, do you know that where you are not, I said, what scripture do you have in Mark 16? He said, are you an apostle? That does not need an answer. He knows I was not one. I said, no. He said, why did you not lay hands? He said, are you sure that those you laid hands on, some of them didn't have demons? Because when you laid, he was explaining to me. Some of them, I know the person, we're still friends. He said, as you laid hands, how are you sure the demons did not come back to your hand? No, I was not thinking. I was thinking. I said, because now, don't forget that the people came and did not get well. So everything was now agreeing. So I said, eh. He said, you see? So, that evening, I felt sick. That evening, I feel sick. So, there are people who have had that kind of experience. So he has a rejection issue. That's Moses. He now runs to Midian, Acts 7. And then, he was there, he was a stranger. Which means that he now became an hybrid. Who am I? I was forced to raise an Hebrew. Raised an Egyptian. Now, I'm raised as a reject of both Hebrew and Egyptian. So he settled for Midian. In Midian, he was known as an Egyptian. So that was enough to forget that desire he had. The people who have lost that desire. Because the two things I just said, identity and rejection. And I know at this conference, that desire is back. Identity crisis can make you lose that desire. And also, the second thing, like I said earlier on, which is rejection. Now notice what happened to Moses. As he got to Midian, he now settled down as a shepherd. And there are those who are like that now. They are comfortable with just their career. And they will now find places where they are now told, don't worry, as long as you are doing well to humanity. You know, I mean, just make sure that you at the end of the year like this, you feed the poor and you contribute to some charity organizations and you are doing well in your career. After all, you invented an app. That app will make sure that when people don't need to sit down before they sit down, something like that. That app makes sure that, you know, you don't have to, you can just see money in your wallet. You know, look at the blessing you have to humanity. Your heart has been able to solve many problems for humanity. What else is ministry but that? No, you are collecting money, but that heart is solving humanity's problems. So you are now comfortable. You've had identity crisis already is there. You've had rejection. So you are now settling down your comfort zone. I know how to do this one now. This one does not require all those night and day prayer. This one does not require studying the word for long. This one does not describe being led by the Spirit. This one does not require anything like that. It just requires my skill. So he settled like that. Till God appeared to him. And called him. And the same God that he told his brethren, that he supposed sent him to his brethren, had to reintroduce himself to him. I am the God of your father. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See how long he had been away from the call of God over his life. He had had an identity crisis. He had had rejection. He had now settled into his comfort zone. I pray for all of us here that in the name of Jesus, you will not settle down in a comfort zone that takes you out of God's call over your life. In the name of Jesus, this morning I unsettle you in that comfort zone by the power of the Holy Ghost. Nothing less than God's will satisfy your heart. Nothing less than God's will satisfy your heart. Nothing. God's will or nothing. God's will or nothing. God's will or nothing. God's plan or nothing. God's purpose or nothing. God's will or nothing. I pray again that anything making you comfortable with your own plan, with your own desire, you become uncomfortable now in the name of Jesus. God's plan or nothing. Stand to your feet. Sit down, sorry. Sit down. So he settled down. Don't forget, he's married. He has children. He's doing well. But God now had to appear to him and reintroduce himself. The same God he knew in primary school. Are you here? The same God that he served, he was an ESCO in secondary school. He was the same God. Now appears to him at the camp meeting. I am the God of your father. The God, he didn't say the God of your fathers. He said the God of your father. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why did he have to say that? He had to restore his identity. And that's what happens many times when people come for a conference like this. Usually, and you know what I'm about to say, they are not hearing some things for the first time. It is a reminder. It's like God is coming to your face. That's what happens. And sometimes we struggle with it. Ah, this is coming back to me. Because if you are born of God, if you are born of God, there is nothing we are saying in this conference we are hearing for the first time. You may hear it in a better way, in a more elaborate way, but your heart. Romans 8:16 says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. You have a witness. So he appears to him. And Moses began to, you know, look at the same person who was now arguing. So who would I say sent me? What name would I give them? What name? What name should I call? Say, well, say the I am sent you. Now, I've explained that to you. That wasn't the first time God is called I am. But he had to remind him. And there are people like that. You need to go through it all over again. God will reintroduce himself, his word, his purpose, his plan. Moses knew they needed rescue. He knew it 40 years before. But you know what 40 years can do? 40 years can take away every reality from a man. It's a long time. It's a long time. 40 years of doing every other thing but serving Jesus. 40 years of being in your comfort zone. You are now an MD CEO. People now know you for something else. You are now, in fact, even his wife, remember, they called him an Egyptian. He didn't refute it. He called his own son Gershom, stranger, and lost identity. Rejection had added to the problem. But God is faithful. God is faithful. He came at him and reintroduced himself. Then he now said, who am I to go before Pharaoh? Who am I? Who? The same person. Now said, who am I? Till not long after that, his wife Zipporah had to do circumcision for him because he had lost his identity. The identity marker of a Jew who is circumcision. He didn't even have it. So he was really an hybrid. He was mixed up. So much. But you know what? God is faithful. Do you know that all he learned in Egypt, God eventually used it for his glory. God eventually used it for his glory. And I'm saying that to everybody here. No matter what had happened, you know, at the past, errors, mistakes, where you didn't follow God's plan, The moment you decide to obey, everything that looks like darkness will be used for his glory. Hear what I'm about to say. God is the only one that knows how to find treasures in darkness. He knows how to see treasures in darkness. That's why I love that song by Don Wen. Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Which means he will use it. The cross was for criminals. He uses it for his glory. The grave was for the dead. He uses it for his glory. The betrayal of Judas, he uses it for his glory. Hatred, malice, he uses it for his glory. So there is no, all you and I need is a surrender. And he told Moses, take off your shoes. No amount of errors you have made. He knows how to find riches in darkness. All the things he now learned in Egypt. Everything. Everything is now the fabric of the vocabulary of the Bible. Do you know what your surrender can do to millions? Do you know what your consecration can do to billions of people? If you knew, Pastor Larry led one prayer yesterday and he said, you are a man for other men. You have to know that. I tell the leaders, when I'm talking to them, I say, look, the moment you are a leader and you are standing in a leader's meeting, you are representing people, you cannot afford to sleep. Because those of you who are pastors here, you came because of people, people's lives are attached to you. Yeah. Your obedience, just like Jesus, will lead to the obedience of many. So that's it. I tell them, look, if you say, well, and you just say, okay, you have something for someone is what you are hearing. All of us are vessels. So here's Moses. God had to reintroduce himself to him and sent him back to where he ran from. Listen, many times, if not all the time, it is where you ran away from that is your place of assignment. Many times. That place you ran away from and you got to a comfort zone. For some of you, somebody was telling me, elderly, came for one message, and the energy of the young people to pray, I was trying to say to the young people, I said, sir, it is how you use your youth. If you were doing this as a young person, this is not going to be strange to you. So it's better you get a hold of it quickly. Sir, I understand. I said, what I mean by that is don't refer to it as for the young people. That's a statement of a backsliding Christian. Praise the Lord. How old was Moses? 80. Sir, are you 80? You are in your middle 50s. Moses was 80. Did he still go 40 days? Can I have an amen? What about Caleb? Obego and Jim. What do you mean by, what are you talking about? If you had used your youth to serve God, you wouldn't say it's for young people. You would have been exercised enough to do this. Are you following what I'm saying? So, lost the identity. The same man who was so eager and lost the desire. So there are desires that we have today is a function of lack of identity. Sometimes a function of rejection. Now watch this. We now find a place of comfort, fulfillment elsewhere. However, listen. The call of God still stands. It still stands. God's word will not change. The call and purpose of God for your life will not change. No matter who is preaching a sweet message to you, making you feel good. Pastors should be careful of making people feel good. I don't say you go and make people feel bad. But don't make it, just say, maybe people are not feeling, let me say it in a way they will like it. You are not called to sell candy. You are called to preach the word. And you preach it. Are you there? The call is still there. But don't forget, what if Moses heard God with all that encounter and decided to run? God will have chosen somebody else. It's not even difficult to see. Later on in the book of Numbers, when he didn't honor God before the people, he didn't lead them to Canaan eventually. So nobody is indispensable. I love what Mordecai said to Esther. He said, don't think that if you don't respond now, that deliverance will not come to the people from somewhere else. It's a warning. Don't think that God will do without you. He will use somebody else. Don't think so. One meeting, God is reminding you. God gave a prophet, God gave a prophet, he reminded you. You saw even dreams, he used dreams that look like cartoon to talk to you. He did this one, and you are still doing like this. Well, it's true, you know, I sense those things. Yeah, man of God, I get your point. I must confess, you know, I've heard those things. I think about it. What's wrong with you? Oh my God. He will use somebody else. Mordecai said, look! Don't think that it will come from somewhere else. I've seen that over the years, God's work just moves on. Whether you are involved or not. So don't go and threaten your pastors and leaders and tell them, sir, I'm just thinking, I don't want to be in the workforce again. So, doesn't make any difference. I don't want to be, I don't want to be a worker. You know why the person said that? He feels he has an option. I don't want to be a worker again, sir. I don't want to be, I'm just thinking, I told someone this years ago. I said, don't ever abandon the work of the ministry, particularly the flock. If God puts you over people, don't abandon them. I said, if you sow that seed, you will reap it. Don't do it though. Don't try it. You are threatening people. Well, I said, look, God will raise somebody else. Help will come from somewhere else. I said, but who knows whether you are in the kingdom for such a time as this. Lift your two hands. Say, I'm alive for such a time as this. Pray for yourself. I'm in my mission for such a time as this. I'm in my church for such a time as this. I will not be replaced by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray for yourself. Every spirit of pride and arrogance. If I'm not in that unit, let's see what will happen. If I don't do, let's see what will happen. Many things will happen. Oh. God will raise other people. May he not raise people in my stead while I'm yet alive. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray. You are here for such a time as this. You came here for such a time as this. Hallelujah. Let's have a seat quick. Hear this. Past obedience is not sufficient. Past obedience. Past faithfulness is not sufficient. We are supposed to be faithful to the end. That's why Paul writes, therefore my beloved brethren, 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, be steadfast, right? Immovable, always abounding. There is no in the work of the Lord. Faithful is he that called you. Reward is not for what you used to do. You have to be faithful till the end. Now that's all for time we gave us. Maybe we should get that on. That we're born till the very end. It's not, you know, I used to be, you know, no. There's no past faithfulness. You know, when I was this one, I used to, some of you think you've tried enough. Some of us think we've tried enough. I used to give a lot. I gave so much now. I gave my time. I gave. Hey, in Jesus' name, it will be I give. And I am giving. And I'll keep giving. And never do it for human applause. Don't be, what are you looking for human applause for? Be steadfast, immovable. There's no reward for past obedience. I used to obey God. I used to follow God. I used to serve God. There's no reward for that. You know, Jesus gave two parables I may remind you of. One of them, he called someone to do something for him. The other said, I'll go. He didn't go. The other person said, I will not go. Then went. He said, who do you think will be rewarded? The one who did it. It's the one who did it. It's the one who did it. So, past obedience, past faithfulness, past commitment. So I said, in those days, I used to be very early to church. Those days, I was in the prayer team. Those days, No, sir. It's only when you are dead that you say that. You can't be alive in your body and you are repeating then, those days. No. You are not indispensable. Don't forget. God will use somebody else. He will. He will use somebody else. If you used to give in your church, it looked like, you are the only giver. Well, the moment it gets into your head, write it down. Somebody else will arise. If you used to be this one, somebody else will arise. And there's a way God replaces people. They will now be far better. I've seen it so well. Never let it get to that point. If I don't sing, who will sing? If I don't preach, you will see the people that will preach. You'll be shocked. So never let that enter your heart. As God came to Moses, he responded. He had doubts. He had his own anxieties. But you see the heart of obedience in him to follow God. So I bring this word to you. If you have had that experience, identity crisis, over the years you have lost who you are. You have gotten to a comfort zone where you are now comfortable. So comfortable. I know there's a way people are preaching serving God these days. They make it feel like do it at your own pleasure. And they do it at the way you like it, you know, and they paint it so well. It's not in the Bible. That kind of Christianity is not in the Bible. You can see, he can be on some pulpits, he can be on TV stations, he can be in books, he can be on Facebook, but it is not in the Bible. It is not there. Since it's not there, you have enough warning not to heed to it. Serving God is a compelling force. 2 Corinthians 5:13. Paul says, though we be beside ourselves, it is the love of Christ, verse 14, that compels us. Something compels us. Something compels us. When he told them in Acts 20, he said, look, they've given me prophecies that the bond and afflictions, Acts 20, 21 and 22, they await me. He said, bam. Bound in the spirit. Don't go to Jerusalem. That word bound is like somebody holding you. You have to do it. Anyone preaching to you that, you know, God is very soft. He's a, look. No. God is not soft too. God is your maker, okay? He's your boss. He's your boss. So there are times he will talk to you and it will be compelling. It's not the devil. It's God. It's compelling. Why?
Because he's your maker. He's your maker. So, men and brethren, the call of God upon our lives is our salvation. Our salvation brings the call of God over our lives. Now, we respond in faithful obedience to why we were saved. You are not saved to yourself. You are not saved to do what you want to do. You are not saved so that you can explore your potentials. You are saved to serve God and do His bidding at all times. Don't seek, I close here, don't seek for an alternative. Don't look for options. Don't look for, maybe this is an elective. No. There's no plan B. There's no option B. Don't look for it. If you look for it, you will find it. And when you find it, be rest assured, if it's not in God's word, it's not God's plan. It's not God's plan. So you must, as a matter of urgency, check your comfort zone. Whether you have settled there and you just love the comfort. And so today people give testimonies. You see the testimonies people give today in church. So how has your Christian life been? Blessed be God, brethren. You know, serving God is such an enjoying thing. I used to look for jobs. In fact, my last job, it gave me 20K. But ever since I began to study revelation knowledge, and my eyes opened to who I am in Christ, I now saw that the world belongs to me. You see, that anything I want, I can get it. Thank you for teaching us, sir. You showed us Christianity without stress. Christianity without any kind of endurance. In fact, the way you showed us, we can walk up to God. And you know, you taught us that when we ask, even if he doesn't have it, he will look for it. Thank you, Pastor. You are a blessing to the body. The testimony of believers we used to hear was, they persecuted me, I stayed in the faith. That's what we used to hear. Temptation came my way, I overcame. I would have taken bribe, I did not take it. I know I'm a new creature in Christ. I used to pray for 30 minutes and struggle, now I can go a whole night praying. Now I have disciples. That is the testimony. That is the testimony. The one I just said is not in the Bible at all. That one I just said. Thank you, sir, for teaching us the leading of the Spirit. In fact, sir, the way I get contracts now, they are the ones calling me. Favor me, favor. It's not in the Bible. I want it to. It's just not there. I wish it was there, but it's not there. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not there. It's not there. Peter said, look at the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:21. That's the example. When they were going to recommend Paul and Barnabas, they said, such men have put their lives on the line for the sake of the gospel. Hallelujah. I'll ask as we close tonight, or this morning, where are the marks of your obedience? Where is it? Where are the marks of your obedience? You're serving God. Is there a mark to it? Is there a testimony that can inspire a weak Christian to be strong? Do you have a testimony that can cause a backslider to return? Do you have a testimony that can show that the life of Christ means much to you? Look at these young men who ran at the death of Jesus. They ran away. But when purpose came, they ran towards it. Something had happened. Many times when people try to criticize the Bible, maybe the stories were made up. They said, look, how can these people put their lives on the line for Jesus that never rose? It doesn't make sense.
If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, these guys were young guys. How did they put their lives on the line? Some of them were crucified. Some of them were beheaded. That it doesn't, it's not logical that Jesus did not rise from the dead and they were willing to stake so much. That is how to know a man has an encounter with God. He can give anything. He can give everything. You don't need to compel him to pray, compel him to hear the word, compel him to go for evangelism. No! He has heard from heaven. And I know you have heard from heaven. I know you have heard from heaven. I know you have heard from heaven. Every strange exhortation, every strange teaching will not settle in your heart in Jesus' name. Every teaching that gives you what you want will not settle in your heart in Jesus' name. Every doctrine that gives you what you desire will not settle in your heart in Jesus' name. You will only be pleased when God is pleased. You will only be fulfilled when God is fulfilled. Your fulfillment will not be primary to you. It's God's fulfillment that will be primary to you. In the name of Jesus. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself.